Welcome to Bonus Bites, a special mini-episode of the Triple D Podcast. These bite-sized episodes are packed with information about disability benefits, disability news, and answers to your burning questions. Get ready to take a bite of what's going on this week. Here's your host, Michael Weiner.
Welcome back to another episode of Bonus Bites. Today is February 1st, and I'm excited to chat it up with you again about the Social Security disability world. Katie, how's your week been?
It's been really good. I'm excited because we're official now. We have official coffee mugs, so it's a good day.
I posted on LinkedIn. You know you've made it when you've got a mug with your mug on it.
How's your week been?
My week's been good. It's been busy. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the week that I had last week. Mm-hmm. In Washington, D.C. I started off by, I had a meeting in D.C., but then I also spent some time on Capitol Hill meeting with politicians about the exact things that we talk about here on this podcast. So I'm excited to share a little bit about that.
Yeah.
It seems like when we came up with the idea for this podcast, I wasn't sure how we'd have enough content to fill it, but it seems like with the back and forth that we have now, we've got like an overflowing amount of information to share with people about the disability process, updates. So I'm excited to get going now.
Yeah. And I just want to say, you know, we had so many submissions from listeners about questions that they wanted answered. We are going to be answering those. If you sent one in, we have a bunch of them saved up. We only have so much time. So we're going to try to chip away at those each week and get some of those questions answered. But I want to talk a little bit about your trip to DC. So you went there, you said you had a meeting, but you were also advocating for the We Can't Wait Act. So tell me a little bit about what you were doing up there.
Yeah. And you know, I think we talked about the We Can't Wait Act on our last Bonus Bites episode. When somebody applies for disability benefits, there's a 5-month waiting period. And the good news is I think that most politicians agree that it's a good idea. It is a legislation that has bipartisan support, which is rare, especially in the current political climate. But people from both sides of the aisle realize that people, when they can't work anymore, they're hurting and they need that assistance right away. And the good news is it doesn't change. It's not the way that it's being proposed and set up right now. We don't have final details on what it would look like, but the rule proposal seemed to make it like it's not going to cost any more money to the government to give people benefits earlier. There's some offsets that kind of even things out. It's cheaper for the administration to oversee and administer. So it's a more efficient policy when people become eligible right when they become disabled. So I'm really hoping that the advocacy that not only I'm doing, but so many of my colleagues who are disability attorneys or even outside of the disability, Social Security disability space, disability rights groups, they're all on board with this as well. So hopefully something happens over the next several months here. This is the biggest piece of legislation to affect disabled people that I've seen in as long as I've been an attorney.
Mm-hmm. So. And, something I want to say about that is, and this is one of the things that makes me so proud to work here. You're not really someone that's going to come on here, go on social media and toot your own horn. But, you went there.
You sure about that, Katie?
I mean, about certain things, but it's stuff like this. You're in there, you're doing the real work. You went there and, you wanted to shoot some videos while you were there, but you were too busy doing the real work, advocating for people to do that instead of showing it off on social media. You were doing it in real life. So
yeah, I did plan on shooting some things. I think in the end, all I got was a quick video at the airport because of how limited time was. But at the end of the day, this is not about promoting us. It's about what's right for our clients.
Absolutely.
And I am always going to be proud to step forward and use my voice because I'm fortunate and I can. So I hope that other people who, whether you're applying for disability yourself, if you're receiving disability benefits, if you're an advocate or even just a supporter, you should be speaking up as well, because this is something that is best for all people in America. And you never know when you're going to unfortunately have a situation that requires you to apply for benefits. And just think about what having no income for 5-6 months would do to you.
Yeah.
So Thank you for saying that, though.
Yeah. So let's move on to our headlines today, some disability news. The first thing we want to talk about, it's not necessarily new this week. It's not breaking. It's ongoing. But this is a proposed rule change from the SSA. So break this down for me a little bit.
So this is exciting. This is actually, we haven't talked about it yet, but this is a rule change that should be going into effect soon from Social Security right now. And this is something that's going to affect SSI beneficiaries. Remember, there's two types of disability benefits. There's SSD benefits, which are benefits, it stands for Social Security Disability, for people who have worked and paid into Social Security. You earn it through paying FICA taxes. But there's another type of disability benefits called SSI benefits, Supplemental Security Income. And that's a needs-based benefit. It's essentially like a federal poverty benefit for people who are disabled. But because it is a needs-based benefit, there are certain deductions or exclusions against the maximum SSI payment that people can receive. So right now, the most that somebody can receive in a month in SSI benefits is $941. But up to a third of that can actually just be cut right out of a person's benefit check if they're not expected to contribute to household expenses for food and shelter. Now, there's a lot of problems with the food part of that, because how do you calculate a grocery bill? Like, when somebody has a mortgage or a rent, that's a payment that's pretty consistent. It's easy for Social Security to look at and administer. But with food, grocery bills go up and down. People are oftentimes receiving SNAP benefits. They used to be called food stamps. Now they're called SNAP benefits from their, you know, local government, or sometimes from the federal government as well. But Social Security's rule change is to take food out of that and say, we're not going to mess around with how much somebody is receiving in food benefits, or look to see how much somebody is, what your grocery bills are every month and your portion of them would be. Think about the administration nightmare that creates for people who work for Social Security, having to tally people's grocery bills and divide that up. There's inaccuracies. What if the month that receipts were submitted for benefit calculation, it was a high month, but then it's lower every other month, so they're not really receiving what they should be getting. Social Security is done with that.
And it's so much manpower.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So really, it's another one of these things where when Social Security went and did a deeper analysis into it, they realized that the amount of money and time and money that they're spending on calculating how much food people's food bills are, so that they could deduct from their benefits, cost the same amount as they're doing anyways. But it's taking Social Security employees away from work.
From the backlog.
And they're complaining that they're behind. So this is something that I'm excited to talk about. What it means is our clients should be receiving more money every month, many people. And that's always a good thing, because I don't care who you are. I don't care what part of the country you're in. $941 is not a lot of money to get through, a 30-31 day period. So hopefully what this will do is make it so people have a little bit more wiggle room and can breathe a little more if you're receiving SSI. You did talk about something just now, and we're kind of going off script here, but the backlog that Social Security has right now is tremendous. And I think it's worthy to talk about right now because it's just been such a hot topic in our office, because, we're a nationwide disability practice. We help people from Maine to Alaska to Hawaii, back to Florida. We're crisscrossing, all over the country. And, when people are going through the initial steps of the disability process, the initial application reconsideration, how long a claim takes is really state specific. And some states are ridiculous. Like here in Ohio, we tell our clients that they should get an initial decision on their application from within 4 to 6 months. But I'm finding in Maryland, Florida, several states, Washington State, it's taking a year from the time the application is filed for Social Security to even assign someone to start reviewing it. A year to assign them.
Wow.
Yeah. It's scary.
That is so long for people that are really struggling just to get by.
I can't imagine that. We talk about that, what the 5-month waiting period does for people, kind of going back to the We Can't Wait Act. But What if Social Security is not even going to review the application that you filed for a year? And, you know, we've got, we're fortunate here. We've got a lot of employees, so we've got the manpower to be babysitting and pushing and pushing. But even when we're doing the best that we can, we're giving Social Security complete files as early as possible. It takes them forever to even just open up the file, open up the application and start reviewing. So, hopefully that's something that with these changes, like we're not going to spend our time calculating what your grocery bills are. Social Security will have more time to address looking at applications and doing the work of helping people, which is what the American people have trusted Social Security to do.
All right. Well, we'll move on to our next headline, which this one I'm actually going to read here. So tell me a little bit about this one. Social Security has added a new status report to the ERE. So tell me about that and how it impacts, you know, people's cases and the work that we do fighting for benefits.
So I'm going to break this down a little bit. And first, let me preface this by saying some of the things that we talk about here on this show are going to be exciting pieces of news or relevant news for potential clients, people who are receiving disability, applying for disability. Some of this information is stuff that's exciting to know for people who are disability attorneys or representatives like myself, and that's the category that this would fall into. Social Security administers a website for people who are registered representatives to you know, assist people through the disability process. It's called Electronic Records Express, ERE. And for the longest time, we were only able to see the cases that Social Security was processing through these, you know, web portals, cases that were at the hearing level. Okay, we've talked about, you know, the long disability process. So only a very narrow amount of your cases were you able to see what was processing with Social Security. You could see what your cases were at the appeals council, which is the first appeal level if you go to a disability hearing and it was denied. A few years ago, and this was, I was excited about this, Social Security expanded to make it so that we could see some of the information in our clients' files electronically who were pending at the initial and reconsideration stage. That was a big step for us because it was kind of like, we didn't really know what Social Security actually had for many years. Now we do know, you know, what somebody has, you know, at the initial application and at the reconsideration stage. But what Social Security still had not done was provided us a condensed list of all of our clients who they have received and are working on their files. This creates a lot of administrative headaches for representatives and attorneys like us because we have, when we log in to try and see our client's electronic folder, a lot of times we get a screen that says this SSN is not recognized. This Social Security number that we typed in is not recognized as being a process claim. Then we get locked out of that website and we can't help our clients who they do have the information for because we've had too many inaccurate attempts. So what Social Security is doing now, which is really just going to help our processes in the office and help us help our clients, is they're making it so we can see a list of all of the people who have initial and reconsideration applications that they have transitioned into this electronic folder so we can, you know, really work with the file in there. That's exciting news for us. I will tell you, it creates so many inefficiencies in our office right here when we get locked out of a file and then we're on hold for 30 minutes because we type in wrong Social Security numbers too many times. Not that we're typing in wrong numbers, it's that Social Security has not made an electronic folder for a specific client. That shouldn't be too shocking when I tell you about that backlog, right?
Right.
So that year-long process that it takes for Social Security to even start working on an application in Maryland, Florida, Washington State, and other states like that, there is no electronic folder until they actually open the thing and start working on it. Now we'll know how to help people better, and I'm excited about that.
Good. Kind of chipping away again at those inefficiencies and things that are just dragging on cases unnecessarily.
Yes. And what's interesting about this, and I want to kind of circle back to something we talked about in the last episode of Bonus Bites, was, you know, there's a new commissioner of Social Security, Martin O'Malley, and my understanding is that, one, he has made it a priority to increase lines of, open lines of communication with the disability bar. Okay. So that's what I'm going to call attorneys and non-attorney reps. But this was one of his first acts of business, was to increase that efficiency. So it's a small thing. It helps us a lot, but it's a small thing. And hopefully there's improved and more efficiencies like this ahead.
Multiple small things. All right. So that was all of our headlines. I'm glad that we were able to get into that. But now I want to get into some of our listener questions. Again, we got so many questions. We appreciate everyone for submitting them. And we're going to be kind of chipping away at them. Keep those coming in. We have a specific page for it. So our first one that we're going to get into is, once you are denied, how many times can you reapply? And we'll tackle that part because it's a two-part question. So how many times can you reapply once you're denied?
Okay. So the answer is there is no limit. You never are in a position where, because you have applied and been denied, you can't reapply. You can reapply again and again. Now, I always advise clients, your best path is not to just take an initial denial and file a new application. You should appeal the claim. Now, if your claim gets as far as a hearing with an administrative law judge, what does happen, depending on where you are in the country, because the rules are different based on geography in many instances, but depending on where you are in the country, you may have to show a worsening of your symptoms since a judge last reviewed your claim in order to be approved on a subsequent application. But there still is no limit on the number of times that you can apply. That's interesting because I hear a lot of people say, you know, I really think I need these benefits, but I'm nervous that I'll apply, they'll deny me, and then I won't be able to apply again because I know I'm going to get worse in the future. You don't have to wait like that.
Mm-hmm. So you can apply as many times as you want, but let's say you're denied and you're applying again. Will that past information be used in your future applications and decisions?
It's a maybe. It really depends on the particular facts of an individual case, but, you know, things that I see come up a lot are, maybe old psych exams, like neuropsychological exams or old IQ testing, things like that, that maybe were a part of an old application and it wasn't enough to get somebody approved when they first applied, but with additional evidence on a new application plus what was there before, they can piece things together and have enough information to award benefits to somebody. So it's really case by case, but the answer is it can. I had a hearing yesterday. It was actually kind of confusing to be able to go through this individual's file because Social Security had exhibited in their file all of the evidence from an old case that was 8 or 9 years old, as well as all the new medical records that we had submitted for the current period. But actually, some of the old records that were in there were really helpful to me in arguing successfully that my client was disabled.
Okay, so hopping over to another question, and this one was actually commented on our TikTok. So it's at the Backwards Hat Barrister. And you answer a ton of questions there and people comment all the time. But this was a good one that we thought a lot of people might ask. So this one was, if approved for disability benefits, do I still have to pay on student loans?
Good question. And the answer, as most answers are in the legal world, is maybe. It depends. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you, though, is that there are steps that you can take to having federal student loans discharged. So, you know, there's multiple ways that you can get assistance for education. Many people get loans through private sources, banks, different foundations, but many people get aid right from the federal government. Whether you can have loans discharged from, you know, a private source really is going to depend on the specifics of that source. But what I can tell you is that there is a path, Katie, to having benefits, to having your student loans discharged if you are receiving federal student aid. So you have to have one of several factors apply. I can kind of walk us through them. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's five ways. You just have to have one of these. One is your receiving disability and your next continuing disability review has been scheduled within 5 to 7 years from the date of your last Social Security disability determination. That's one way. Second way is your next continuing disability review has been scheduled at 3 years. And I want to talk about why I think that they have these as rules. They're projecting out quite a while. So for somebody to not need a CDR, continuing disability review, for 3 years, that's usually Social Security's realization that somebody has an impairment that's less likely to improve. So the government is more comfortable discharging the student loans with the knowledge that the person is less likely to work again. But there's three more ways. You have a medical onset date for Social Security disability or SSI that's at least 5 years before you apply for discharge. So that means you've been disabled under Social Security's rules for 5 years, then they'll consider that, then they should discharge your loan. You qualify for SSD or SSI based on a compassionate allowance. That's a unique one. So there are certain really extreme health conditions that when somebody has, Social Security automatically will find them disabled. They're few and far between, but there are some where Social Security says, boy, if you can show us a medical diagnosis of this impairment, we're just going to award the benefits. If you have a compassionate allowance, they'll discharge your loans. And the last one is you're currently receiving Social Security retirement benefits. And immediately before you qualified for retirement benefits, you met one of the requirements that I already went through previously. So there's five different ways, but with federal student loans, it's more black and white and saying, yes, you can have these discharged, or no, you can't. But federal student aid makes up the vast majority of student aid that's out there right now. So hopefully that helps people, because that's a question that we got on TikTok, but I hear it from our clients very frequently.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that is it for our listener questions. I just want to talk about next week on the podcast. So today, February 1st, starts American Heart Month. This month, we're going to be talking all about heart disease and disability benefits, different conditions that, you know, might qualify you, and a little bit more information on how people might know if they do qualify. So next week's guest is really interesting. She is the heart health nutritionist, and she talks a lot on her Instagram. She has over 16,000 followers on there, and she shares a lot of good information on how your diet can impact your heart health. So I'm excited to listen to the podcast. I think it's going to be a good one.
So am I. I, you know, one thing that I love is, even though our business revolves around helping people who are sick and can't work, we really do put a lot of emphasis on helping people live healthier lives. And so I think that having that guest on will kind of go to that, and we'll talk about how, what people can do to improve their heart health. So maybe they don't need to apply for these benefits that we assist people with.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, Michael, thank you so much for all of the great information today. Make sure that you are continuing to submit those listener questions. You can find a link in the description below so that you can submit your question. You can always find information on us at our website, linerlegal.com, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Bonus Bites, a mini episode of the Triple D podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and tune in next week for more disability news and headlines.